This is Live from the Table, recorded at the world-famous Comedy Cellar. Coming at you on Sirius XM 99 Raw Dog and on the Laugh Button Podcast Network. Dan Natterman here, along with Noam Dworman, the owner of the world-famous Comedy Cellar. We have Perry L. Ashenbrand. She's the producer of the show. She's also an on-air personality. And there really is no turning back at this point. We have Eric Newman with us. He has been on before. He's on again. I asked him on for a specific reason. We'll get to that. And, of course,
I have a question.
Well, I haven't finished the intro.
Oh, go ahead.
Behind the scenes, the wizard of sound, the sorceress of audio from Binghamton, New York, Nicole Lyons joins us. Nicole, you don't have to say anything. We know you're shy. A little, just a little beep. Just a little, you know, a little noise there.
Now, I have a question.
To let us know you're there. Okay, maybe not. Noam has a question before we get into
the word producer. Does it have any particular meaning anymore? Like in a movie, it's producer's a guy who, you know, takes the money and hires a director, like, you know, in charge of the.
That's an interesting point.
In a music scenario, the producer is actually involved in the recording and the oversees the musical and technical aspects of it. A radio producer, you would think, is involved and has some knowledge of technical skills of audio of something to do with production. There was a term I used to hear called booker.
She's a booker. She's a booker.
Really?
No, she's the producer. We know she's the producer. I'm just asking, what does producer mean?
Well,
in this case, she books the show.
She produces it.
And beyond that, I'm not sure. She's an on-air personality, as we've said.
See, she inherited the title producer from a previous producer who called himself a producer.
Okay, the way the job was pitched to me, and I do have a paper trail to back this up, was that there was a sound engineer, so that was never part of the job description.
I'm just wondering, when words don't have meaning, they cease to be useful. If I tell somebody I'm a baseball player, they're like, oh, really? Do you make pizza somewhere? Like, they know what it means to be a baseball player.
Well,
if you tell somebody you're a producer,
right?
What does that tell them that you do?
Well, I think it actually is sort of a vague title.
But that was kind of my point.
Right. So I do everything from playing, like, kindergarten teacher to, you know, making sure everybody shows up on time to making sure certain people that shall remain nameless actually read the calendar and know who the guests are and, you know, probably.
Obviously, she's referring to me, Eric.
I do research to track down the guests. I do a big part of what I do is tracking down and booking the guests and maintaining the calendar. And then,
that's a big job.
And then uploading everything.
You're more like a casting director.
I feel like I'm a creative director and producer.
Well, but by the way, a lot of titles have that vagueness to them.
Well,
manager, and I mean manager as far as representation and manager as far as managing a restaurant. Manager of a restaurant could just be like a server who wears a suit, pretty much. Or they could be like a high-level GM or, you know, manager.
By the way, Eric has restaurant experience, so he knows wherever he speaks. I don't want to, if I may, I don't want to get too bogged down into this discussion because I did bring
Eric. It's too late for that. We're already too bogged down.
You brought me on to clarify what a producer was.
I wanted to say something about two things, and then we'll talk to Eric. First of all, we had a big discussion about gun control last week, and afterwards, I think I didn't. There's something I meant to say, and I think I didn't get to say it, but it's just important to add to it. Anybody listens that you know, I think that everything exists on the emotional level and on like the analytical level, and one can obscure the other, and so what we were talking about last week is how a particular narrative of a tiny number of people can seem more significant to us than tens of thousands of deaths, which are kind of anonymous. But having said that, it's also important to just I want to be on record as saying that it's just intolerable emotionally to have children killed in a school. It is like terrorism. I think I said it last week, like asymmetric. Like the whole point of terrorism is not the damage it does. It's the emotional fear and everything it inflicts. And although these school shootings are not done by terrorists in the sense that, you know, managers are imprecise, where terrorists is usually defined as somebody with a political agenda. Sometimes they're done by terrorists. It still has the same effect on us as terrorism. And so I don't want anybody to think that I minimize it in any way. As a matter of fact, I think I said it's true what I was talking about. I couldn't even maintain my
I believe you made this point.
Yeah.
No.
Did I make the point? Because I
believe you did.
Okay. So I want to make it very clear that both things are true. The school shootings are intolerable. We have to do everything we can to stop them, even if it saves a small number of lives, because emotionally we can't live that way as a country. On the other hand, it does bother me. It really does bother me that same numbers of people, larger numbers of people, are killed all the time. And literally there's no reaction to it because we're not able to react to things sufficiently unless we have a narrative to put to them. And that's where our leaders let us down. So anyway, that's what I just wanted to say. That. Go ahead.
Okay, Eric Newman, everybody. I brought him on for a very specific reason. That reason is Dan Natterman has thrown himself into the ring of social media. How long I'll be doing it, I don't know. I may take my ball and go home if I don't see results at some point. But both Instagram and TikTok, I have now been posting videos, reels on Instagram. And I've opened up a TikTok account. I have 31 followers. It is a humble beginning, but a beginning nonetheless. And I brought Eric Newman on because he has had good success on social media in a relatively short time. He's been at it for a couple of years. He already has how many Instagram and TikTok followers?
407,000. But I once had less than 31.
Once had less than 31.
407,000 on TikTok, 81 on Instagram.
Okay, so I have about 3,200 on Instagram. Anyway, so I wanted to really dissect this whole thing with Eric. I even took the rare step of writing down questions that I would like to address regarding that. First of all, just by way of background, this is the new way comics are getting the name out there.
It's the only... I did stand up for 12 years in this city, started to headline a little bit ever since the social media following. I mean, I got the Tonight Show a few months ago, but if I ask around, I always want to ask, I go, how'd you hear about the show? And 98% of the crowd will say TikTok or Instagram, and three old ladies will be like, we saw you on the Tonight Show.
So, you know, Eric, we did, just very briefly, I was told
that's a good
by...
Good imitation. Go ahead.
I was told by the booker of the Tonight Show, I won't mention his name.
Oh, God.
Oh, here we go.
But he gave me a hard no as far as doing that show. And I've done a lot of talk shows over the years. So it was shocking and upsetting to get a hard no from him. But the good news is his show doesn't count for shit. So
I mean, it counted for where I was. I don't know if it would do much for you. For me, I needed a late night set at this point. Mm-hmm. Wanted. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, it comes down to ticket sales, man. That's what it is. Like, the Cellar is the one club I can think of where no matter who's on the lineup, it sells out. The only club I can think of. I've been to a good number of clubs around this country.
Well,
I mean, why do you think that is?
It's a reputation. That's it.
I rest my case, Your Honor. Go ahead.
What, reputation.
Do you have another theory?
Because it doesn't matter. The point is this. It's product, okay? And whether that product comes in the form of a celebrity or a young comic who's just a killer on stage, it's still a product of quality. So, like...
Well, that's what I meant. Like, it's obviously the reputation, but what earned us that reputation? Like, what are we doing differently than other clubs are doing?
You're paying more attention. I say this all the time on podcasts. I say it when I'm high. I was on Edibles in LA 2 weeks ago, and I was having like a really deep conversation with a comic in LA. And I was like, and I say this about you all the time behind your back, all the time. I go, Gnome's always there. I'm like, I've worked every club in this city. I haven't really worked the Stand, but every other club I've worked in the city for a long period of time and have been at the place a lot. And I pay attention to every detail. That's how I am. It's just sort of the way my brain works. You're always at the bar, like watching the comic on stage, like looking around the room. I notice you doing this all the time.
He's usually at a table having a cocktail talking with Harry Anton about politics.
That's, and in between that, he gets up and he goes over to the club. No, but seriously, and I feel like that attention to detail is what makes the Cellar. I'm very, very, I mean, I don't work the store. And I know that's
the comedy
that,
story.
The
right?
Comedy store in LA, yeah. I don't work the store, and I've walked in and I've watched shows and I've been around it a little bit. And I can't really speak to exactly, you know, how great it is because I haven't spent a lot of time there. But indisputably, the Cellar is the best club I've ever I've ever stepped foot in.
All right, thank you. I don't want to Shanghai Dan's intention here because he wants to find out on social media.
But what
Can
I'm
you
saying,
still say Shanghai? That sounds like might be a politically incorrect term at this point.
I'm getting back to my point that I'm getting back to is that attention to detail is really what separates, I think, really successful people from those not as successful. And I think that social media needs your attention. Like, you need to be attending to it consistently and hard, and like, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, it comes down to ticket sales. Look, I'm doing pretty well around the country ticket sales wise. I want to be doing 20 times better, and I plan to be, and that's what the goal is. I'm glad. Are Liz and Bobby Kelly here or no?
We won't beat you.
Call back to a podcast you probably didn't listen to, but anyway. But yeah, so I think like what I did is during the pandemic, like I was performing here a lot behind glass, but even before that, there was that 6 month period where or 4 month period where there was no comedy at all available. You could not get up, and I was going crazy. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna like pull. And at that point, TikTok, I mean, I'm not gonna say I'm the first one to put stand up clips on TikTok, but I was definitely part of the first wave.
I was the first person to do a podcast. I will say that. I was.
Never?
I was doing podcast. I mean, I don't know for sure that I was the first, but I was podcasting in 2005 or 2004 even. But the word podcast hadn't been invented yet, so I called it my internet radio show, and I was doing it on my website, and you could download it. And anyway, so I will say that I was the first to do that.
I was the first person to invent cloud computing.
All right, you might have been.
You also had the oldest living dog in the world.
You said you had two dogs that lived over 20 years old, which is hard.
We're just going to throw out facts, random facts about our lives now.
I'm not going to bore you, but when I say I was invented cloud computing, I might be telling the truth. Go ahead.
We all might be telling the truth about everything we say.
I don't think Dan had the first podcast.
No, no. Well, then who had one in 2005?
But to have a podcast.
I mean, seriously, who had one?
Well, then where did you post it?
On my website. And you could, at that time, there was no smartphones, but you could like put it on your iPod. And again, the word podcast didn't exist. I called it Dan Natterman's Internet Radio Show, the Dan Natterman Show.
No, you were the last person to have internet radio. You weren't the first person to have a podcast. No,
well, I was the first comedian to do that.
No, maybe you were then. That's great.
As far as I know, there's no other comedian who was doing it at the time. And I thought to myself, why aren't these people doing this? It's so obvious.
Dude, you should.
And then, of course, now everybody is doing it.
Dude, you know what's a good podcast? Attempt a resurgence for the podcast. Bring it back. Call it the first podcast ever created. And have guests on from other podcasts who you debate with about whether they were. I think that would be a good idea.
That probably would be. I mean, it's an interesting concept. But let's dig into I do want to dig into the nitty gritty how to get a following
a
comic.
Eric said something that really resonated with me that you and I have discussed that you poo-poo, but maybe coming from him, you won't, is that you have to do it consistently.
I don't think I poo-pooed it. You also have to be, as with everything else, in show business, you have to be encouraged.
I'm on Wikipedia. Podcasting began to catch hold in late 2004 with Dan Natterman.
It didn't catch. Well, then that's wrong because it didn't catch on at all. Oh. I didn't say it caught on. I said I was doing it.
2004, it says.
Okay, so have you noticed that certain videos, you know, there's been a lot of talk of how to game the system. My first video that I posted on Instagram got 30,000. It's up to 30. It's still kind of getting a lot of
good.
33,000 views on Instagram. It was a video I was talking about comedians getting assaulted on stage.
Oh yeah, the Chris Rock joke.
Chris Rock joke.
Right.
When I said that Chris Rock, you know, I applaud Chris Rock because he kept his calm when he got smacked by Will Smith. Although I probably would have applauded a lot harder if he knocks Will Smith out with one punch and then said, "Now where was I?" And anyway, so that got like 33,000.
Keith and the Girl started March 7th, 2005. So you predated them?
It's possible that I did not predate them. I have to go back to my archives. I know.
I think you might have.
I'm not sure if I started in 2004 or 2005.
And that's still going, right?
Yeah, that's Chemda.
Yeah, Chemda, yeah.
It's so funny. This week, it's funny we're talking about podcasting.
We used to be my band. Go ahead.
Nuh-uh. I went to Salman Schechter with her. I've known her since first grade.
Okay, we're really...
Okay, a little Jewy here. Go ahead.
I really do want to... Because I have a lot of points to make.
Take it, Dan. Take it. I'm going to
I did the unthinkable. I wrote a list of questions.
Go ahead. Ask the first one. I'll try to answer.
So the question is why did some video... You know, Greg Rogel just did a video. He did a joke about tilapia. It was a funny joke, but he had a ton of other funny jokes. Well, this particular joke got 1 million views, and his other jokes got 2,000.
A million views?
A million on TikTok.
And he Greg
got like,
Rogel?
Yeah, and he got like 3,000 followers from that joke. Now,
what's the joke?
He's like, yeah, tilapia, I've never... Well, I don't want to tell his joke. It's
tell
not for
a joke.
Me to tell his joke. He's talking about how tilapia, he's never met anybody that said that they went fishing and caught a tilapia. That's okay.
That's
so
the joke.
Well, there's more to
it's
it.
The premise,
that,
yeah,
but
yeah.
But that's basically the premise.
He's funny, Greg.
But
oh, Greg's great.
But he has a lot of funny jokes. And this joke got 1 million. And my thing got 30,000 on Instagram. It got 11 on TikTok. 11.
11,
literally, no, 11. and.
Dude, and, is the number that I would suggest you make up.
It's a funny number.
It's a funny number.
Yeah.
Like if you were like, if we were workshopping this thing you just said, and you were like, what number should I say? Like 18? I was like, I think 11. 11's the one you go with.
Yeah, but 11 sounds fun. It is 11. Well,
12 is not funny.
I could show you, but. What, 11's like it. You're seeing, and
19, but 11's funnier.
And then other prime, ones prime did numbers. Better on one. So how the is there any rhyme or reason? Greg Rogel was telling me, well, you got to post it at 9 in the morning. That's how it works.
Okay, someone asked you how you make it in stand-up comedy. Do you have an answer? You've been doing comedy. You're a professional comic for years. Can you give him an answer?
I can give him some theories.
Theories, but they're all theories. You see what I'm saying? There's no concrete way to tell a young comic who's now like, a young comic asked me to go out for coffee. This happens all the time now.
But you don't notice a pattern that certain things you post get big, but there are patterns. There are patterns in there.
There are patterns
you may
that
or may
are
not...
broken consistently.
Okay, so you're telling me that
there's
no rule.
That makes them, not really, nobody, viral is something that everybody wants that nobody could tell you how to do it.
Okay, but here's my question about, this is TikTok, right?
Well, both TikTok and Instagram, real.
But TikTok, as far as I understand it, is a little... unique because the algorithm serves up the video. People are not going to Greg Rogel.
Correct. There are people who have literally seen me and have never been to my actual page.
Right.
Right.
So somehow the algorithm latched on to this joke, maybe because they notice how long the algorithm noticed how long the engagement is. People didn't skip it. People maybe watch it again. Sometimes, if you like a video, they'll scroll back down and show it to their mom or whatever it is. Somehow the algorithm said, oh, this is something, mm-hmm. people like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then began to serve it up to other people. And that's how TikTok works, which is quite different than going viral on YouTube.
So, and the disadvantage of TikTok is there hasn't been, now there is, just this week, they started, you know how like on Instagram you could share a story?
Yeah.
So you could like, you know, they didn't have that on TikTok. There was actually no way to like really
share.
Or even to like communicate tour dates to fans. Like it's like, because again, it's not like Instagram, you post it and it'll show hit most people's who follow you's account or I don't know, whatever percentage, 30% of the people who follow you will see it or something, you know? TikTok, there's no real way to do that. So there's no like structured way to like actually let people know information you want to let them know.
Well, you can put it in the video, at the end of the video.
The end of the video, right, exactly. But then it's like, okay, but what if the video only gets 11 views? Then 11 people saw it? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's what I mean. Like, you know, I was reading this book recently called Psychology of Money. Have you guys read it? It's a really interesting book. But they were talking about how Warren Buffett, how everybody always assumes like Warren Buffett was just like always right. And he just, the times he was right, he was maybe way more right than most people. But he was wrong just as much as you and I are. So like, I think that's social media. I think it's like.
I know the point you're trying to making.
It's not
but believe
made.
Me, Periel's been wrong more than Warren Buffett.
Maybe only a couple
know,
of times.
I know you're being just like, you know.
He couldn't
figure it
not.
In. But come on.
Look at how happy that makes him.
That might be the dumbest thing you've ever said, ever. You better read that book again.
No, I just don't know enough about Periel. It's not what I know about the book. It's okay. What I, yeah. No, but I think that's what social media. Like, I had one video on TikTok that got 26 million views.
Whoa,
26 million, and it brought in 150,000.
How much
followers.
Do you think? By the way, no, this is a.
What was it?
It was actually at the Fat Black Pussycat. That's what. By the way, you want to know what? You asked me why the cellar's always packed. It's that video.
That's not a crazy thing. Apparently, a lot of comedian TikTok videos are from our clubs.
Yes,
a lot. That brings up
my next question. Because you guys
gave out the videos. There was a time where I wasn't using any other video, but it always had the seller in the background, which is like the smartest thing. No other club. Now clubs are just starting to do that.
Fuck! Don't goddamn it! Don't you put them up?
No, that's I won't put them up.
Good.
How much are you paying me not to put them up?
No, just, but that sort of leads to my next question. Yeah. Is like, is there a way to expedite? Now, what it is the Comedy Cellar have cameras are installed in the clubs.
Yep.
Now, you can either bring your own camera and film it, but and I did that, but like it wasn't as good because...
You want to get the videos quicker?
Is there a way to expedite the process?
Yeah, there is. The problem is we have trouble with... We're short on staff, but...
Especially because sometimes you do a topical video and you want it faster.
Yes, I'm going to take care of that because that was the intention. I spent a lot of money on this system, including very, very high-speed internet, specifically so the comedians could get their videos right away. We have the same internet they have like at CNN. And the sound guys are not that busy. They should be able to really just send it to you right after your set.
Yeah.
If you give them your email address. They should be able to.
John kills it, man. John's been great.
Now...
What, do you get it right? Do you tape it yourself with your own camera? Or you use
the
built-in
system? Yeah.
And you get it right away?
No, not right away. It takes a while because it goes through Liz.
All right, I'm gonna try to expedite. I'm gonna make a list of people. The reason it's slow, part of the reason is because I was hyper careful. I don't want these videos getting out when the comedians don't want them to get out. So I installed a lot of procedural rigmarole. But if you're not worried about it, because the easier it is for you to get it, the more easier it is for somebody to steal it or to, you know, take it home or stick a USB drive in. Now, I'm more concerned about people like Chappelle and stuff like that when they come down. But if you're not worried about it, I'll just tell them, you know, they don't care.
And also, the times, a lot of comedians are posting with timestamps on it. Do they not realize you can ask?
No,
I know that. But a lot of comedians are posting with the timestamps.
Mine got 26 million with a timestamp.
I don't think a timestamp matters.
It doesn't. I literally got my highest video ever had a timestamp on it.
So what was the video about?
It was a video. It was a Fab. I was hosting at the lounge, and there was this. I asked this people. You know, I do a lot of crowd work up front, so I asked this couple if they were, asked them if they were a couple or whatever, and she said no. He had sex with my mom. And I sort of like unpack that, and it's crazy. I had 150 to 200,000 followers from
this
that video.
This is on TikTok.
On TikTok. It went so viral.
Is this your girlfriend, your lady?
No.
No? Were you guys friends? Friends, okay. You guys trying to make me complicate shit more, or you're...
No,
wait, are you fucking serious? Thank you guys, good night. Thanks for coming to the show. I really appreciate it. That's it, the show is over. The show's fucking done. You had sex with her mom, and we're all saying goodnight. Because I can't, quite frankly, nobody can follow that shit. Wait, what? I can't believe I took so long to get to this shit. Wait, did he really?
We went abroad together.
Okay. Everybody shut the fuck up so we can listen to you. Stop placing drink orders. Nobody can. This is going to be entertaining without alcohol. You can stop placing drink orders. Okay, keep going. Go ahead. Wow. How old is your mom? You look young as hell. Like, you're, like, beautiful and young as hell. How old is your mom?
My mom's 45. Well, at the time, she was 40.
I was 20. She was 49.
Okay. Look out. Are you with these people?
Yeah.
Okay, because you were just like this. Oh, you were all there when he had sex with her mom?
I walked in on it.
I'm fucking done with you people. Suddenly, sports marketing sounds very interesting to me. I can't. Well, I hope this is a fucking fake story. No? Holy shit. I'm so glad we record these sets. I'm definitely asking for a tape of this shit. Like,
so you so make these videos and you put them on TikTok and then you post them from TikTok on Instagram? Like, what is that? Are those two things completely separate?
You can't have the TikTok logo on the Instagram platform.
Okay.
It won't go anywhere. You can, but it's not going to... You got 11 views. Did you have it on?
I got 11 views on TikTok. That video got 30,000 on Instagram.
Dude, 11 is really bad, dude.
Well, I understand Dan, that.
Why don't you write a joke about tilapia and fucking somebody's mother? Let's see if the algorithm...
Yeah, there we go.
But are those platforms completely mutually exclusive? Like, do you take a minute and you put it on Instagram and then you put that same minute on TikTok?
No. I do that a lot. But sometimes, like TikTok, for example, they flag shit way quicker than Instagram. Like, you'll get flagged. I got kicked off TikTok. My account disappeared after like 200,000 followers and I was having a heart attack. And then I emailed all these people at TikTok and they finally restored the account just for like, I don't know, saying like pussy too much or whatever. Like TikTok's like they're a little rigorous with their parameters. Whereas Instagram, you could pretty much get away with anything. Ari Shaffir could get off Instagram, but he's one of the only ones get kicked off Instagram. But he's one of the only ones that seem to have been able to achieve it.
He was driven though, like he's getting
yeah, he was trying. That was his goal. Yeah.
Did he get kicked off Instagram?
Yeah, but he got it back. Yeah.
Now, what about you? Said you do crowd work, and are you doing crowd work because that's your thing, or because you don't want to burn material? So when you go now do a show, and people have seen you on TikTok, they haven't seen. Like, I've been doing just my jokes.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I ever do get a following from this, and I don't quit and take a coding class, which I've been considering, if I ever do get a following and do go, well, you know, I'm told you can make like 150 grand after a 15-week coding boot camp. I don't know if that's true.
It's pretty good.
You know, but that's pretty good.
C++?
I don't know. Like, it's.
Why don't you chop the coding class clips into TikTok? Segments.
It could do that, you know.
Apparently, Elon Musk pretends he knows how to code, but he couldn't even run a Python script. Did you read about that?
I didn't know about it.
Go ahead.
But if I ever do get a following and I go on the road and now they've seen my jokes on TikTok.
First of all,
is that a big deal?
There's two things. Number one is, first, I only did jokes for the first 10 years I did stand up. I didn't start, crowd work is more of a more recent thing for me. I mean, at least in to this level, like, of doing it. But hosting here has, like, made me very comfortable with it because...
But do you think it's just better for social media because you don't burn material?
So that's the thing. I write quietly. I write jokes quietly, and I don't have to worry about burning the material. Like, fans have actually come to me after shows, and they're like, we saw that joke. We saw that joke. And, like, a couple of them were, like, unhappy about it. And I was like, well, fuck you. But also kind of like, all right, mental note.
I mean, is that a new thing? Because... you know, in the old days, you'd go on The Tonight Show and you'd do jokes, and then you'd do those same jokes on your show.
I don't know. People don't want to hear jokes, like, much more than once.
No, that's not true. That's just the idiot who says something to you.
Right.
Usually, people want to hear the joke. I hope he does this. If you go to see George Carlin, you're like, I hope he does the seven words.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that seven words thing. I've heard him. Like, you want to hear it.
Yeah. You're right. Some
good bits.
But with music, it's never the case.
That's not music, of course, music. They want to hear the same music over and over again. By the way, I'm happy. You know, Noam, at the beginning of this show, he said he's not going to stay very long. He has other things to do, and this.
This topic
wasn't of overwhelming interest to him because normally he likes to talk about politics. But yet here he is, does that mean you actually are engaged by this discussion? No,
I'm quite engaged. The only reason I didn't want to stay with nothing to do with the topic is because I have a lot piling up on me.
You'll be done,
and because I know that. This topic is probably more interesting if I shut up anyway.
No. Well.
Look, it's always, what I like about having Noam on the show is to get the club owner's perspective is gold.
It is gold.
You know, I don't think any other podcast has that. You know, there's other podcasts at the Comedy Store or wherever they're at.
Are you telling me the guys who want to stand don't do a podcast? They just tweet out this alt-right? I'm kidding.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they do. But to have the guy that owns... that owns this particular club, which is a very special place, is a very unique thing to have.
By the way, I think I'm one of the top, when you search Comedy Cellar on TikTok, I think I'm one, someone messaged me and told me that I was the first or second one that came up.
Well, that's what I heard. I know that Zarna is very...
She's killing it. She's got about 100,000 more than I do. She's killing it.
Well, I told this story, but I brought my daughter and her best friend to the Comedy Cellar a few weeks ago, and Zarna walked through, and my daughter's little friend says, "Is that Zarna Garg?" And she saw the Beatles.
Now the caveat to that is this girl is 11 years old. She's not going to go see Zarna at a comedy club, probably. In other words, you want fans, but ideally you want fans that are 20, 21, 22.
But Noam's just commenting on what type of reach it has.
Of course.
I mean, like, you know,
but in terms of a fan base, some fans are better than others.
Yeah.
Some fans are more lucrative than others. An 11-year-old girl.
No. I understand what you're saying. But if you are a Netflix and somebody has a rabid following at any age, that is a money-making proposition.
For sure.
Yeah.
And Zarna, I've said before, Zarna, I think, is in a very good position because she is a comedian that the whole family can enjoy together.
Definitely.
11-year-olds can watch, and everybody's enjoying. It's not like watching it. And that's a throwback to when I was a kid, when like Bill Cosby used to be able to entertain.
I keep telling you not to use that as an example.
But it's true. He was able to, or even George Carlin to some extent. But comedians at that time used to be able to entertain a whole age range.
Zarna has had one of the quickest ascensions I've ever seen in comedy. Like I mean, I've been doing it 14 years. I've been doing it nearly as long as you, but I haven't seen anything like it. And she kills, man. Like, yeah. She murders. Like, and she's sweet and she's likable and she's genuine and she's working so hard. And it drives me crazy because she's like this like businesswoman who's just like wants fast results. And here I am, like, just working my ass off for 14 years. And she's been doing it for 2 years. And she's like, I'm barely making any money. And she'll tell me what she made for the weekend. And I was like, Zarna, that is excellent money for a stand-up comedian who has been doing comedy for 2 years. Like,
I'll be honest,
or 3 years.
If she were just as distracted by getting laid as you were, you think she'd be anywhere as successful as she is? I mean, come on. You have to divide your attention.
Dude, the funniest fucking thing in the world. No, I don't know if I ever told you this. I was hosting at the bar and Noam walked in, right? And somebody, I forgot who told me afterwards, he goes, yo, Noam just watched your set. I felt like it went pretty well. And he goes, Noam just watched your set. I was like, oh shit. Like, did he say anything? He's like, yeah, he went up to me and he goes, that guy gets laid.
You should see, I mean, he's brought in bona fide tens. And I'll be honest, I never thought of that. I never thought of Eric Newman. Like, there's comics I see like Jeff Dye. And I'm like, oh, duh, he's hot. You know? Newman, I never thought that.
Did you make?
Never thought I was a good looking guy?
Did you make an embarrassing comment to him like you did to me when I was with a bona fide 10?
No. No, and we've rehashed that a number of times. We don't need to get into it. But no, I
never
didn't really
for that
think you know, Newman, I didn't think you were ugly.
I appreciate that.
Certainly.
If that's the nicest you can do, then I'll take it.
It didn't, like a guy like this.
Hold on. Pete Davidson is bagging Kim Kardashian. Well, like you don't.
But he's a star. He's on SNL.
That's true.
That's true.
You know.
And not that he's an ugly guy or anything, but he's not Brad Pitt.
But I mean, girls go crazy for Eric Newman. Like, a guy like Des Bishop to me is obvious. I see Des Bishop, but yeah, that's a hot dude. Looks like James Bond.
Very good looking.
And
guy.
Newman, I thought, ugh. You know. No, I mean,
leave it to Beaver.
I hope you didn't take that offensively. That was the next thing he was going
to. Well, look, to me, look, who cares? Look, this is comedy. We're supposed to be funny, first and foremost. Whether you're good looking or not, it's like, you know. That's not how I assess people, but
you did say that once you stopped paying so much attention to
attention to it
at the shows that your career, you started to really focus a lot more on your career.
I was talking about, I did Guys We Fucked earlier, the podcast Guys We Fucked, and I said this, and after it came out of my mouth, I was like, yeah, that's 100% true. This is like recently the first time in my life, very recently, that my career has become the highest priority over women.
Well, but you're seeing results. When you see results and you got into something that you see, I've always said, I read somewhere that, you know, everybody says that in order to make money, people that work hard make money. Yeah. The reality is that people that make money work hard. There's a feedback loop. And if you're encouraged and you're seeing results and you're, I don't have 5 hours of jokes like some comedians. I don't turn over a new hour every. If Netflix was offering me money, then I don't know that I would have as many hours as Louis, but I would have more. And there is a feedback loop. And when you're getting results and moving forward, you're going to work harder and you're going to produce more. And Eric happened on something that he does that really started to work.
Yeah.
And I think that got you going.
But the real test is when it's not working. Like, that's where you really develop like the strength. Like because when things are going well, fine.
But you now know, even if you head into a period where things are not cooking, you know you've done it before.
Right.
You know it can be done and you can do it again.
Yeah.
Do women ever, like, is there an analog to a woman? I've never heard a woman like, yeah, I just do this to get laid. Like, I can't focus. I don't know any guy
that says they do comedy just to get laid. But yes, of course, it's a big.
The obsession. Like, a woman might be obsessed with meeting a man, companionship. I'm sure women want to have sex. I know that. Like,
I don't know why. Yes.
But like the.
You know that?
The single-minded focus on the sexual release.
I've never met a comic
is so male.
I've never met a comic though that I think is just doing this to get laid, but I do think it's a big factor.
But you can also get lost in it. Like I've seen comics also. I think we know some comics who they're just obsessed with the party culture.
Name names
like that I'm not. I wouldn't. But they're just obsessed with the party culture. They just want to get laid, and they want to, like, I truly want to be as great as I could possibly be. And if I had another chance to say it on the Bobby's podcast, I would have probably phrased it, Nicole, this is for you, I would have probably phrased it as whatever my ceiling is, I just definitely want to hit it. And that's it. As far as success, as far as, like, being the best artist I could be, I just want to hit my ceiling. I don't ever want to feel like I came up short, because you can't control what your God-given ability is, but you definitely can control your work ethic.
Right.
That's why I was a big Kobe fan. I was obsessed with Kobe, you know? And, like,
you can't control your work ethic either, but anyway, go ahead.
No, you...
That's probably an illusion.
Well, it may be, and then we can get into issues of free will.
I think you control your work. Why wouldn't you be able to control your work ethic?
Because the personality is also probably, you know, just part of your DNA.
A part of your DNA, sure. But within your DNA, you could control how much you push that.
Yeah, I think it really is about being consistent and really putting the work in.
I wanted to talk about another thing that I never would have come up with myself.
That I'm good looking?
No, but I wouldn't have. But the fact that all these videos... No, that you're ugly.
I appreciate
it. And apparently you are good looking. Who cares what I think?
Apparently.
Move on.
Who cares what I think?
I know, Dan. Dan, I've been trying to fuck you for so long. I care what you think, dude.
Look, Ari Shaffir apparently is sexy. I mean, that's what I hear from a lot of women. You know, could have really knocked me over with a feather on that. But, I mean,
that was a little actually more hurtful than mine. So that.
who is like a really?
He's getting.
Who's really what?
Who is like a real? Who's like the most attractive?
He said Des Bishop.
Des Bishop. Des. Who's that other guy I mentioned? Jeff Dye.
Okay.
I think Jeff's really good looking.
Jeff Dye. I mean, Nicole, do you have any thoughts on this?
No. I want to know who you think, not who. I know what Nicole's type is.
Nicole likes skinny. Nicole probably thinks Jeff, Pete Davidson's probably into him, right? Am I right, Nicole? Just a yay or a nay, quickly.
No.
No.
Oh, really?
Okay. No, I could have told you that.
There's that guy, Ryan Long. Is that his name?
Ryan Long, yeah.
I don't know who Jeff Dye is. I'm going to look him up. Des Bishop, yeah. Des is certainly a good-looking guy, but that's sort of like not, wouldn't be like the first person that popped.
He's like George Clooney-esque, you know, handsome, classically handsome type man.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That's true.
That's Jeff Dye.
Jeff's very good-looking.
Oh.
And,
Also, women are different.
That guy looks just like Eric.
Women are different, though, dude. Women, like, there's, like, a reason why Perio might think he's not good looking, or, like, doesn't like the way his smile. Like, they're not going to answer it as black and white as a man would. Like, oh, he's really good looking or he's not. Like, women are like, it's just not
women
me,
have a
you know?
Larger variety of types.
I understand the Des Bishop, George Clooney thing, but I think that Jeff really looks a lot like they're a very similar sort of genre.
Also, Russ Meneve was
Russ is good looking.
You know, I mean, we haven't seen him around here in a while.
Russ is good looking.
But anyway,
okay. Well, what's the next question?
The question is the now almost every video, certainly every stand up video and a lot of non stand up videos are subtitled. As you're saying, it's like closed captions for hearing.
You need to do that.
It's something I never would have thought on my own, but I'm doing it because that's what you do. But what is the reasoning for that?
Because people often can't put the sound on their phones when they're watching, or they have to.
Now, Kyle Dunnigan, who's got a huge Instagram presence, doesn't do that with his sketches
because he's doing impressions.
So he's doing impressions, and he. So I guess
the other school of thought is it forces you to watch it with sound if you don't have subtitles. That's the other school of thought.
But no, you should definitely, for jokes, you should definitely.
Yeah, also, you have to. And it also has to be funny.
It pops, I think, too, a little bit. Like, now that I'm analyzing it, there's a certain visual, I think. It's a visually kind of interesting. It pops at you. And you can do stuff with the subtitles. You can make them pop, and you can use graphics.
Also, this will make sure, like, that's like the one, it's probably the truest test to, like, how funny a joke actually is, bless you, on paper. By just watching it and not listening to it. Because, like, if you watch Sebastian Maniscalco, right, like a lot of what he does is animation on stage, right? It's just being sort of animated and loud, you know. And he's brilliant at it. But I'm saying, like, if you read a joke, it's different than watching.
Are you dissing Sebastian?
No. I love Sebastian. Okay. I love Sebastian. Am I dissing him at all?
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Make sure that you don't miss anything.
But stand up is so much more than just the words, of course.
But Sebastian's joke work actually
No, he's great. No, he's great. But I'm just saying, like, you're not seeing, like, he's one of those comics where, like,
it's like it tells jokes work on the page,
right?
And they're also hilarious.
But they don't work nearly as well.
No, they work really well.
Steve Fabricant
repeats them all the time.
Yes,
and I see him when he does it to like my friends or whatever, and they all always crack up whenever it's in a telling.
I think every comic is different. Some comics the words count for more than other comics. I think probably the comic with the greatest, wherein the delivery was most important, was Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah.
And if you just spoke matter-of-factly and said one of Gilbert's jokes, I'm trying to think, like, death to the three name girl, you know, and then Tiffany Amber Thiessen came out, and then Anthony Michael Hall came out, you know, without Gilbert saying, and then Tiffany Amber Thiessen, you know, I think that the difference is vast. Between the words.
That was good, Dad.
That was good.
I do a reasonable impression, but not nearly good enough to go toe to toe with the people that do impressions.
I know. With impression, you have to be perfect as an impressionist.
Well, you don't have to be perfect, but you have to be funny.
You are funny with them.
That Dana Carvey used to do impressions that didn't necessarily sound exactly like his George Bush. Not gonna. I mean, it approximates it. And you can, but it's not the most accurate George Bush impression
that
you've ever heard. But it's accurate enough, and it's just very, very funny.
I think that you should do some of your Gilbert impressions for TikTok and Instagram, and I'll bet you anything they would do very well. And your Jackie Mason's hysterical. I've told you that forever.
I don't know if the TikTok crowd is a Jackie Mason crowd.
Instagram.
TikTok tends to be very, very young.
Not anymore.
No?
Yeah, not anymore.
Now it's everyone.
I don't think Jackie Mason is your ticket to TikTok.
No. But maybe that.
No.
No, I mean, you might as well do my Mort Saul impression. You know, these people don't care.
Oh, did you see the Carlin documentary?
I haven't seen it.
I want it so bad. It's amazing, right?
It's really good.
I can't wait to watch it.
The only thing is, and I guess I understand why they did it, and I don't blame them at all, but I fantasize that they took out that famous bit of George Carlin saying the N-word, which is a really powerful statement about who George Carlin was and what he stood for. And it's a little bit...
Yeah, but the documentary would have become about that.
I know. I said I know why they did it. For the greater good of the documentary, and I probably would have done the same thing. And yet I lament that in a documentary, which is meant to tell the truth about something that happened or a person, when you are forced to take things out of a documentary because people can't handle the truth, that's an indictment of the times we're living in. You know, it was really disappointing to me. But I'm not criticizing it at all. I understand exactly why they had to do that.
Where is the documentary available on?
It's on HBO, right?
It's HBO Max.
Yeah, it's two parts.
Apatow produced, right?
Apatow directed, and boy, is it good!
I mean, everything he does, I always want to watch.
It's fantastically directed and edited, but on top of that, the source material is so incredible. Like the Patrice documentary, that really suffered from just not having that much compelling material.
Yeah,
I think there's a Geraldo documentary coming out. I just spoke with Marianne Geraldo.
Yeah.
And I think that she said, do you know anything about this?
No.
I believe there's a Geraldo documentary in the works. I don't know, but my
awesome.
Liberty.
I can't wait to.
I don't think it's a secret.
But the Carlin, because he has like his handwritten notes, stuff he left to his wife, phone messages. I mean, it's stacks and stacks of material. Like I was trying to think, like if I do a documentary on me, they'd have nothing. Like, they would have nothing. I don't have anything.
What are you talking about? You have so much stuff.
No, you have to see this documentary.
What? And I mean, it was the same thing with the
guest. I don't leave my notes on. I don't write everything out. I don't write stuff to my wife.
We have,
all the
time. Hundreds of hours of audio and video of you.
Yeah, I guess I have that. They have email, too.
And also, yeah.
You have these podcast episodes.
All those endless emails you send.
Okay, I have to go.
Okay, I wanted to. Okay, well, thank you, Noam. You stayed a lot longer than you had said you would. I have to attribute that to the fact that you were more interested in this conversation than you anticipated being.
No, I always thought I'd be interested. I'm telling you, I'm pulled in six different directions.
No, it's like that thing where you go, like, you make a date and you're not sure you're gonna like the person, so you're like, we'll do one drink, and then it ends up going well, and you're like, he just had three drinks.
Yeah, you're right.
He had four drinks, five drinks. He took shots all night.
Stumble out of here.
I once thought I picked up a girl in a bar.
And he's still, he's not going.
Yeah. And it turned out that she thought I was the internet date she was there to meet.
Stop it.
Yeah. And only, and things were going great. And then at some point we realized, oh no, I'm not that person. Yeah. And then,
did she ever find that? Did you ever keep in touch with
but
her?
But you had sex with her.
I was married at the time. No, I'm kidding.
And you did take her to your.
No, that she had to go find the guy that she was there to meet.
If you do, if you die and we do a documentary about you, I'm gonna find track this woman down and interview her.
Okay.
What's her name?
I don't remember. It was. I mean, 15 minutes of my life. I didn't. But I mean, I was like, I felt good about myself. You know.
I wanted to. I don't know if we're gonna end with this, but I wanted to talk about this. Years ago, I had an idea for a book. Oddly enough. Called Real Books, Fake Excerpts, where I would have a real book and I would like write a fake excerpt and I try to pitch this as a book to various.
You did videos of it too.
I did some videos on YouTube that didn't get much traction. But that's what I'm getting at. I'm in the interest of doing something a little bit different than everybody else is doing and not burning my stand-up material, I thought maybe I'll do Real Books, Fake Excerpts on TikTok.
Too highbrow, Dan.
Is it too high? Or on?
He can't scream from back there. Sit
he
down.
Said it was too high.
There's a market for everything, man.
He said it was
really
too high, but it may be. It also, but what the concept is very simple. They're real books and they're fake excerpts. So the
nobody reads. It's not,
they don't have to read because I'm going to narrate the fake excerpt from the real book.
Nobody knows anything about books.
But I will say the name of the. Well, I could do one as a sample. I could do one as a sample. If you're interested, I have three books up there. That I was because I wanted Nicole to videotape me or Periel.
Do you want to bring the book?
There are three of them up there. There's.
Do you need them?
Well, I would need them because inside I have my fake excerpt in there.
You actually put fake excerpts.
I put fake excerpts in there. So the books, but I got other ones at home. But these books are Tears We Cannot Stop, Michael Eric Dyson, A Sermon to White America.
Okay.
The other book is Love, Death, Madness, and the Creation of Roget's Thesaurus. Now. Does anybody of a younger generation know what Roget's Thesaurus is?
No.
Do you know?
I know what it is.
Do you know what Roget's Thesaurus is?
No.
Do you know what a thesaurus is?
Yeah.
That may be good enough. And then the third one is Inside Hitler's Bunker.
Yeah, I know.
The Last Days of the Third Reich. You've heard of Hitler.
Yeah.
He was a German statesman. So which of these three would you like to hear the fake?
Hitler. Hitler. He's the only one I understand. Hitler.
Yeah.
Hitler. You don't want to hear. No, this is a sermon to white America.
But I don't. No, I don't want to hear that. Hitler.
All right, Hitler's inside Hitler's.
Hitler's
bunker.
A white supremacist, also.
Hitler's inside Hitler's bunker. So this is the real book is Inside Hitler's Bunker, The Last Days of the Third Reich.
Okay.
And the fake excerpt is this. I wrote literally like 12 years ago. I don't know if it holds up. Maybe it was never good then, but back when Hitler was a bigger. Anyway, with Russian troops less. This is from the chapter. This is what doesn't matter. This is, and no, the battle begins. Chapter one. Oh, actually, no, it would be at the end.
Gathering storm. Go ahead.
With Russian troops less than a mile from the bunker, Hitler. Sorry, I corrected something. Hitler had made his decision and would not change his mind, despite the pleadings of Stubenfuhrer Otto Grunsch. There was simply no time for another game of ping pong. Grunsch and Goebbels would be declared co-bunker champions. A desperate Grunsch suggested a game to 11 instead of 21. Hitler then took his sidearm and shot Grunsch in the head. The Third Reich had not yet breathed his last, and the 21-point ping-pong game established as a standard when the Nazis took power in 1933 would not be compromised. Goebbels would thus have the champion trophy all to himself, if only for a short time. That's from Inside Hitler's. But I got to chuckle it, too.
I got to go. That's funny, Dan, but that's not TikTok material.
Well, maybe I'll try Tears We Cannot. I'll do one more. Try to get a bigger laugh from this one.
But you lost your nerve, too.
I lost my nerve.
Yeah. I can tell it in your delivery.
Yeah.
You didn't sell it.
All right. This is Tears We Cannot Stop, A Sermon to White America. Do you want to hear this one?
Yeah.
Distrust and dislike for those different than ourselves seems to be a regrettable, albeit universal, aspect of human behavior, not to mention the human need to feel superior to others. Thus, I would say to white America that, in a perverse way, I understand the discrimination and racism historically exhibited toward African Americans. What I don't understand, however, and likely never will, is why y'all so into Bon Jovi. It's been 30 years. How the hell are these guys still selling out stadiums? The whiter the town, the more they sell out. I mean, It's My Life is a good song, but I'm not sitting through all the other awful songs just to hear one decent tune.
Nicole's asleep, by the way.
Okay.
Dude, I love that one because I hate Bon Jovi. So I'm very into that one.
Maybe I'll That would be my first post.
I don't understand. Did you bring those books here from home?
Yeah, I brought them from home.
Okay.
Because if I videotape them, I want it me reading from the book as if I'm actually reading from the book.
Yeah. Dude, try it, man. I'm telling you. Like, that's nobody else is going to be doing that.
That's for Dan's doing.
That would be funny if he started doing it. He did the hashtag, and then he just saw, like, a million other people just...
Well, then I would know I was onto something. Nicole, what are your thoughts?
I thought that was great. I love the Bon Jovi one.
Did you, yeah, what about great. The Hitler?
That was a little over my head, I think.
Okay. Yeah, you can't be too... you know, they can't simplify. Be too high. They can't be too highbrow.
Yeah, simplify.
Like, you're not dealing with, like, major intellectuals
easy viewing, you know?
Here.
Easy viewing.
Yeah.
You got to still make it, like, digestible for the average person.
Yeah, okay. You got to dumb it down a little bit.
You know?
Okay.
Like, I have a brilliant Philip Roth joke that never works on stage because nobody knows who Philip Roth is.
Portnoy's Complaint is one of the best books
okay, you're,
of all.
Yes, it is.
Fine.
And you will be the
well,
only
I enjoyed
person.
Portnoy's Complaint, a good
love
deal.
Portnoy's Complaint.
Do I have any other... But we're not quite done here. I just want to see if I have any other questions regarding... do you have any questions, Periel, regarding the social
no,
media? Because I assume you also... Because Periel, by the way, is a stand-up. I know that. And so I assume that you...
She just made $25 the other day.
Well, I assume it's not quite what Zarna makes, but I assume that you want to also post stuff on social media.
Well, the fact that I'm even getting paid to do gigs for me is
amazing.
Yeah, Zarna hasn't been doing it much longer than you have.
Well, that's...
Yeah, but you can't... You know what my therapist told me this morning? Compare the spare.
Yeah, your therapist stole that from Alcoholics Anonymous.
No, she said it. No, she said it was from Alcoholics.
Comparison is the thief of joy. I'm not trying to compare myself to Zarna or anybody else. I adore Zarna. I think she's brilliant. And, I hope that she becomes an absolute superstar, and I'm sure that she will.
If she becomes a superstar, it's going to hurt a little bit.
Why? That's ridiculous.
Why would it hurt?
It's the complete opposite.
She's a friend of my sister's. So my sister's like tells me a few years ago, maybe like last year, hey, you know this Zarna Garg? Her kid goes to school with my, you know, her daughter was a good friend of my nephew's in high school at Horace Mann. And I figured, she's some housewife that's doing comedy. I said, nah, I never heard of her.
Housewife that's doing comedy?
Yeah, that's what she was. She was some housewife that was doing comedy.
That is so offensive.
And now she's taking my place. First of all, there's nothing wrong with being a housewife. That's what you
No, but when you say it in your...
That was my impression that she was a housewife doing comedy. How the fuck was I supposed to know she'd come in here and throw me out?
First of all, there's nothing wrong with being a housewife. There is something wrong with like that snide, derogatory, some housewife, as though that's not a real job.
All right, there was some snide to it in there, because when I hear about somebody that's doing comedy because so many people are doing it...
You know what I think?
I tend to dismiss it until I see otherwise.
You know what I think? I think that you're as good as the company you keep, and I think that you should be thrilled that and all of us, that we're so lucky to be in each other's company. So I would take that in the complete opposite way. You're always looking at the glass half empty.
I like Zarna. I'm just saying it's going to hurt a little bit with somebody that's been doing it compared to me, a very short amount of time. I'm comparing and despairing. I'm doing exactly what they tell you not to do in AA, but I'm not in AA because I can hold my liquor.
So to answer your question, and to really sort of drive home the point of not comparing, I just started doing reels on Instagram not that long ago, really, in the past couple of months. I felt like I was always like intimidated to do that, really. And I only have like 2,000 something followers on Instagram, but I started doing these reels, and I gotta say, for me, we've discussed this. I mean, for me, like, I'm getting like 7,000 views.
Great.
It's great. It's amazing.
Awesome. You got to take the wins, man. Look, I think I'm doing well. 1 minute, I'm like, oh, I'm doing great. And then I see fucking Matteo Lane's reels. Like, they're, like, insane. Like, he's getting, I think he's got, like, 600,000 followers on Instagram. Whereas, like, if you go down that path.
Yeah. There's no happiness
at the end of it. 100%.
Like, I wonder if Elon Musk compares in despair. I mean, like, he's at the very top. So,
everybody
unless he's comparing
does.
Himself to God.
Right.
Probably comparing Jeff Bezos.
Like, who the hell would a guy like that compare himself
Jeff
to.
Bezos.
I wonder if
he's richer than Bezos. Now he might think I haven't changed the world as much as Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
But he probably has.
There's always some
I think when you're that high up, there's only the only people left to compare yourself to are dead people.
Look at Michael Jackson.
Julius Caesar or George Washington.
No, you're completely wrong.
But there's certain things, like, for example, he's just going to find a way to be unfulfilled in something.
Yes, yeah.
Like, he'd be like, oh, I'm investing in boats. Like this guy made more money in boats today than I did.
Totally.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
If I had Elon Musk on this podcast, which is very unlikely, but I would ask him if he ever compares himself in the spirits. And the second question I would ask him is, how much money would he pay to go back in time? That's always been a thought I had a multi-billionaire. Would you pay? You got $200 billion. How much would you pay for a talking dog? And how much would you pay? And how much would you pay to go back?
Talking
in time?
Dog is a group.
Can I tell you something? I would much rather be talking to Eric than to Elon Musk.
I would like to talk to both.
Who's better looking?
Oh, you're better looking than Elon Musk.
Okay.
And Elon Musk, by the way, before his hair transplant, looked ridiculous. I couldn't take him seriously at all. I don't care how much money you have. Get out of here.
By the way, you're lessening the chances of him coming on the pod every second you talk about him.
I think the consistency part, what Eric said, is really true. And the really, sticking to it. Like, you keep doing it until you figure it out. If you want it.
Well, according to Eric, there is no figuring it out. But
You can only know what you know. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're never, even people who work at Instagram, who've worked there for 10 years, they can't tell me exactly what's going to make
there's
a video
not like a
do
secret
well do well.
Yeah, there's not
I thought maybe there's some tips and tricks.
The people are deciding.
I know the people are, but the people are not completely irrational and random. There are thought processes and the algorithm.
Yeah, there is. If I look back, there was a streak I had for a week where it was 1.4 million, 4.5 million on Reels, 800,000, 300,000. And then all of a sudden, for a month, it was 35,000.
Yeah, you lost
80,000.
Yeah, you lost it. No big
4,000.
Deal. Anyhow, you're right. It seems random. It probably is not random. You just have to figure it out. Or maybe it is completely and totally and utterly random.
No, I don't think so. But I think what Eric also said, he said to you, if somebody came to you and asked you, how do you make it in stand-up? You couldn't give them precise.
I couldn't give them, but I wouldn't have no answer at all.
But he's not. He doesn't have no answer.
I'm giving you the same
answer.
I'm saying be consistent. What would you say to somebody who
get on stage?
I would say you want to make it a stand-up comedy. I'd say there's other. If your goal is money, there's certainly better avenues. But if you love stand-up, here's what I'm going to tell you. Come into my office. First of all, I say come into my office. Okay, here we go. First of all, obviously, be as funny as you can be. Obviously, make the right friends to the extent that you can do so. Be nice to everybody. Be the opposite of Dan Natterman. Don't be angry and bitter. Be good looking if you can do it.
Since I couldn't do that, I had to do the other thing.
But be interesting looking, and I would say.
What about get on stage as much as you can? You haven't even put that.
I said be as funny as you could be, which includes that.
No, it doesn't include
that. Of course it includes that.
Get on stage.
Yeah, because be as funny as you can be. That could include getting on stage as much. That could include writing as much as you can.
I always went by my instincts, okay? Everybody used to always tell me, you got to hang out, man. You got to hang out at the clubs. You got to hang out. I was very anti-hanging out. I felt like it was contrived. Like, it was, forced. I didn't want to hang out, whatever. Hang out. That fucking loser who sits at the bar by himself and he's just, observing everything all night. I didn't want to be that guy.
And you don't have to be, but there is something to be said for making friends.
Making friends is very
important.
There
is something
important.
To be said for, you know.
But you shouldn't force friendships with, the right people just to, that was never my
that's
thing.
That's not your thing. I'm not so sure it's ineffective.
I'm not saying it's ineffective. It's worked for a lot of people.
I think it does work. It may not be your thing. It may not be my thing. I mean, my friends, I sure can't pick them, boy. I mean, these people are going nowhere. I mean, Louis Schaefer. You know, but
these people are going. You sound like the worst friend.
No, they're dear, wonderful people. But I'm never friends with successful people. Never friends with successful people.
Do you know how heartbroken I would be?
Never.
If one of my friends went on a podcast and said that I'm going nowhere.
I say it tongue in cheek. The point is I never was comfortable with the kind of people that end up succeeding in this business for whatever reason. I never.
You have Dan has never, such a skewed. Conception of his
like Amy Schumer. I never jumped on that. You know, Amy Schumer, I was like, ah, she's okay. I never felt a connection with her. So, you know, and that's just what
that's
it
okay,
is.
But that's okay.
I never became her good friend. And, you know, it might have been beneficial had I done so. Of some benefit. It wouldn't make me a star, but maybe I'd have gotten a job writing on a show. Maybe I'd have been in her movie. I don't know, but it wouldn't have hurt. That's for sure.
Right.
Listen,
you can't force friendships.
Yeah, I don't think that like that's really the point. I think the point is to do the best of you, you know?
If somebody said, how do I make it? If somebody said, how do I be artistically fulfilled? I got another answer for you. If somebody says, how do I make it? I say, you stop at nothing. You kill, destroy, and stop at nothing. I'm kidding, of course. But it, you know, I think making it and being funny are not necessarily
everybody
the same thing.
Has a different path though too, you know? Like I think that I came to this so late in my life, and as a mom, like I've had to really carve out like a very, very, very different path than what is like sort of industry
real books,
standard.
Fake excerpts. That is the key.
TikTok success.
I don't know if it's key to TikTok success, but
you got to pick different books, though, honey. You got to do like the what's that negging book? What's that like? You have to pick what's that?
Oh, popular books. Yeah. Pick like books that are like very.
Well, it
timely.
Doesn't have to be a popular book. It has to be a book that's on a topic that I can do something funny with, like A Sermon to White America.
But they have to know enough about the topic to know that your fake excerpt is fake.
Okay, I thought Hitler's bunker was pretty clear.
Mm.
That they're playing ping pong in the bunker. I mean, when the Russians are closing in, that didn't seem...
It's possible.
I mean, maybe it's not funny, but it certainly doesn't seem like... I don't understand how anybody wouldn't get it. But in any case, I think we're about... This was a good episode, I thought.
I thought so, too. Noam wanted to stay for the whole thing.
Can you plug
And
something?
I think you were, by the way, I think you were absolutely right that Noam was hedging his bet. Didn't think he was going to enjoy it. All of a sudden, he did. I know. I'm not even going to ask Nicole what she thought because I know she loved this episode.
Nicole, did you have fun?
I had a lot of fun. Yeah.
That's by the way, that's as excited as she gets.
Also, I don't think she grew up in Binghamton.
Of course, she grew up in Binghamton. Don't contradict me.
Is it Binghamton, Nicole?
Yeah. Well, just outside of
just
Binghamton,
outside
like
of Binghamton.
20 minutes.
Binghamton was like the city for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my big city.
He wasn't gonna plug the tab.
That was like when Little House on the Prairie, when they used to go to Mankato.
Oh my God.
You know, that was their city.
He wasn't gonna plug the town on the outskirts of Binghamton.
Yeah, I mean, when going to the city is Binghamton, then you know you're from a place that's not very exciting. But in any case, do I have anything else to ask our expert TikTok expert?
I'm not an expert. I'm just learning like the rest of us.
I think we've covered pretty much everything. Eric Newman can be found.
I don't have social media. No, on Instagram, at I'm Eric Newman, ERICNEUMANN, and same thing at TikTok, at I'm Eric Newman.
I can be found at Dan Natterman, DANNATURMAN. And unlike Eric Newman, you can be one of the early adopters. Eric, it's too late. It's not interesting anymore.
You could really get in on the ground floor with you, Dan.
You can get in on the ground floor and say, I was Dan's 32nd follower. which I think would be pretty exciting. Also, my book, Ira Spiro Before COVID, is available on Amazon. And you can read it for free, 4 free chapters on Kindle as a sample to see if you like it.
I loved it. And I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. I loved it. It made me laugh and cry.
Thank you, Periel. But enough about the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial. Periel, where can we find you?
At Periel Ashenbrand on Instagram.
And thank you so much. Thank you, Noam. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Periel. And thank you especially to our miracle worker at the soundboard. She is like Rachmaninoff at that soundboard. Binghamton's own, or whatever town
outside
she's from.
Outside of Binghamton.
Outside of Binghamton. Nicole Lyons, who's also available like for if you need, you know, she does, what does she do? You do all kinds of like video and sound stuff.
Yep.
You can contact her through here, podcast@comedyseller.com, to inquire about hiring Nicole or to give us your comments, questions, and suggestions. Thank you so much, everybody. See you next time.
Later.